بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واضح دوزن جماعت الكيم اللي هذا عذاب for the Afghan virus. Most students are to accountants and teacher, 5-6 professional people, perhaps more of them students, university or school. So I asked them, if you are invited to a walima, they ask you to sit outside, and after the eating is ended, they give you the leftovers. Sit there and eat. Whatever was left over, they scrape it and they put it before you. Would you appreciate that? Same food what the rest of the people are eating, you eat the same food. But this is how they presented it before you. So will you enjoy that? Obviously not. So then I explained to them, see, there's two sides to your life. One is the prime of your life. The prime of your life will start about 18, 19, 20, till about 40. That's the prime of your life. And one is after you're 45, 50, then you're downhill, right? So at the prime of your life, you will do something, and when you are on your way out, you will do something. Now Allah wants to see you offering Him, what you are offering, prime or all the leftovers. Now after 50 is the leftover, you enjoyed everything, you gave it to everybody else, this person, that person, the third person. And then what was the leftover, you gave it to Allah Ta'ala. Right. And prime time is at around 18, 19, till about 40, this prime time. So around that time, your ambitions are running very high. You're enthusiastic about things. Mind is running in different directions. You've got fantastic ideas, holiday here, holiday there. This type of food, that type of money, that type of investments, this type of 4x4 and cars, right? So your mind is running in every direction. And you got the energy. You got the energy. Mind is revving very, very fast. You got the adrenaline. Right? Now when you got everything, you got the wealth. So you got the energy to acquire that wealth. Right? And your mind is in adventure and exploration, right? The adrenaline is going very high in you. This excitement, right? That was your prime time. And that prime time, you gave it to Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala will give you the best. Because you are offering Him the best. Right? I invited you to the walima. And in the walima, I gave you a VIP treatment. One was the normal mihman, kept them in their seats, right? And he said, you know, you're my special guest, so you, I'll keep you on the stage, to all the VIPs. All the extra specials are coming, the savories and whatever, pastries and all. All the special, extra special, not just the special, the extra special is coming for you. How do you feel? The most man really honored me. He went out of his way to honor me, gave me a seat. And he treated me with that much of respect. So how do you feel at that time? In Jannat also, Allah Ta'ala gives that respect. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Allah forgave me and honored me. So this honor, everybody is looking for that. You know, that honor, that respect. People must talk to you with kindness, with respect and compassion and love. You want that. So now, it was your prime time and everything was running away with you. Mind was running away, your emotions, your energy was running away with you. And at that time, you gave the prime time, you gave it to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will receive it and receive it very, very well. that he had that entertainment, he had that friends, he had that excitement in him, everything he had in him. But then he gave everything to me. Now, I must give him the best. Now, I'm seeing all chachas standing, sitting before me. They may be feeling very otherwise about the whole thing. He passed that stage now, over 40 now. So he can't give the prime time. Right? So now, what can we offer? Alright? We can't give, like, we can't reverse the whole thing now. Can't bring ourselves back to 20, 19. You can't bring it. You've gone past that age, you've gone past class. But now, the time that we got, the little time that we got, how can we give the best to Allah Ta'ala now? We could have given the best time, right? But now the best time is past. Now, what can be a substitute, what can be a replacement for the best? To give it to the best. The best for the best, right? To earn the best after that. When you want to give the best to the best, you're earning the best. So one thought was coming to my mind. This is my namaz. One thought was coming to my mind. That the best now. You want to give Allah Ta'ala the best. So I had this complaint around this time of the year. You know, this end of November, December, January. Well, I can't get up for tahajjud. That's a normal complaint. Come from different sectors. But I was getting up for tahajjud now. I can't get up for tahajjud. So I understand why the complaint comes. Because as you're going to sleep, it's already about 10, half past 10. And tahajjud is ending about 3:15 or 3:13 something, ending around that time. So now, how do you make it? Going to sleep at about half past 10, 11 o'clock, you're going to get up in about 3, 4 hours time you have to get up. To make it in good time that you can do your tahajjud, etc. well. So I explained to those people, and you see, I learned a little bit of dairy farming. Not learned, but heard something about dairy farming. Right? So, one is the person that is going to feed his cow and feed his cow off the fat. Nothing special. So when he's going to sell his milk, he will get that price. Because that's the quality that he has produced and that's what he's going to get. What type of quality you produce, that's the quality you're going to get. If it's normal feed, then you're going to get the normal money. The cheap dairies will buy your milk, right? And then in the feed, you had added a lot of things, molasses and cotton seed, whatever else you added to it. Now, it's going to become more creamy. It's going to be, the quality is going to pick up. Now the cheap dairies are not going to buy from you. Because they can't afford it. Now Nestle's, Cadbury's will have to buy from you. So the price will go twice, thrice, four times it will go up. So, according to the production, right, according to the production will be the reward. But now the production will be according to how you fed. What you fed, that's going to be the production. And according to the production, you're going to get the reward, right? So now, in the spiritual realm, you feed the heart. The heart is the treasure house. Right? When the heart is the treasure house, you need to feed the heart right. If you fed the heart right, then the right production is going to come out. When the right production is going to come out, Allah Pak will say, never mind, this person was an old chacha, but he tried. So let me give him the best. He said, well, he didn't do for me, it was around 20 and all, right? Alright, make him mark for that. But then after he came of age, he thought, alright, let me look for a plan. How can I do it? How can I work? So, the treasure house is the heart. Is our saluat, saluat jasadu kullu. The treasure heart is the heart. The treasure house is the heart. That is the thing that calls the shots. You know, people that they carry on today, they feel Trump is everything. They feel that Trump is the trump card. They don't understand there is someone above him. Trump, pura din iski baat sunte rahe, yeah, Trump isa karta. But what is it? Is it ordinary? I don't see any difference between him and one ordinary worker that's working here. What's the difference? Just that worker is sitting in a position, that's all. If you get an ordinary worker and make him sit on a throne, will it change his position? It won't change his position. But what we aren't doing is what we can do, what can we do to influence his decision. He's just made to be sitting there, seated there, right? But what are we supposed to be doing to influence his decisions? Obviously, there is someone that's above him that's influencing decisions. You can say the cabinet, you can say the White House, whatever, right? But above the White House is some other one. He's influencing, and his decisions will pass, will prevail. So don't look at the Trump as though he is the God now. He's not a God. What can he do? He's as hopeless as anybody else. Look at the person that's above him. Look at the being that's above him. Shout at him, shout for Jerusalem and whatever else. Now look at the person that's above him. Na Kali ko dekho, na Dori ko dekho. Don't look at the white, don't look at the black. Look at the one that has given the color. In other words, the one that is influencing. Don't look at the color. Don't look at all these things here. Look at who's influencing. Who's got the right to influence? Ma yasqutu min waraqatin. Nothing happens without his will. Even to the extent of the dropping of a leaf, nothing happens without his will. But obviously there's something that can influence Allah's decision in your favor, against you and for you. There's something that influences the decision. So now, what we need to do is, the heart is the control. But then the heart will produce according to what is fed to the heart. The type of quality that is fed to the heart, will the heart be able to produce? Now what feeds the heart? Right? What you want to know is, now what feeds the heart? What feeds the heart is the avenues to the heart. See, the eyes, ears, tongue, these are all the avenues that feed the heart. Now, you want to put junk into the heart, and you want good to come out, then it's impossible, it's not going to come out, it's not going to happen. You put all the junk, right? All the type of junk you put inside, and you want quality to come out, quality to be produced, then it's impossible, it's not going to happen. Like, it's a petrol tank, and you put water inside, and you want that thing to go at 190, it's not going to move. Not going to move at all, you're going to destroy the whole car. So it's what you're going to put into the car that's going to influence the speed. So what you're going to put into the engine, that's the heart, that's going to dictate the speed in you. So now, I was linking this up with tahajjud. You know, people are saying, tahajjud, can't get up. Or people say, we read some rakats before Isha Namaz, after Isha Namaz, before we sleep. But still we aspire for that last moment, can't get that last moment. Now, alright, the intention is very great. The intention is, you know, worth giving an applaud. But then, how do we get the avenues right, that the avenues may supply the right type of fuel, the right type of energy, so the heart can produce the right things after that. Go, you can take you right. So the simple thing is, keep these avenues right. Keep it clean, keep it crystal, keep it absolutely. You know, you are a dairy farmer, right? So, for example, Nestle will send its van, or Clover will send its van to come and collect the milk, right? So you will need to be 100% sure that your milk is right. Because if your milk is slightly off, then Clover will not only pay you, but it will also fine you, impose a penalty for the other milk that you have corrupted, because it's got already containers there, and your milk is just going to be poured into that container. So say there's 50,000 liters already, and your 20,000 is coming in. Now this is slightly contaminated, and you're sending this milk into that, so they're going to charge you for this. The whole container they're going to charge you. They're going to corrupt the whole thing. So the right thing is, the dairy farmer, when he's producing the milk, he will make sure I'm producing it right, and I'm seeing that the produce is sent right as well. So these avenues must be right for that thing to be stored right, to get the right type of reward. So that's how it works. So yes, the avenues must be right. The avenues are in your control. The eyes is in your control. The ears is in your control. The tongue is in your control. When everything is in your control, then what have you done to keep the avenues providing the engine? What have you done to keep these avenues pure and clean? So, each person needs to understand right now, I'm using this type of language, I'm seeing this type of things, I'm listening to this type of things. Then I want all the good also to come out. Then how do you work it out? Like I say, you're putting in all paraffin into the tank, and you want the thing to pick up speed. How is it going to work? It was Hasan Basri, whoever it was, some very pious elder. He says, one word I used incorrectly. Right? One word, and I used that one word incorrectly. As a result, I got deprived of tahajjud for 6 months. See, one word. And it was not rightly used. Something that was inappropriate. But just one word, and I went off. So you see, when you go off also, you go off so bad. One person is in the company of Ibrahim bin Azam, rahmatullahi, whoever it was. So he's walking with his murids, whoever else, his students. And they come across some very handsome boy or a very beautiful girl, right? Whatever it was, whether it was a girl with a girl that was beautiful or a boy that had girlish features. Like, we cannot look at a girl, right? So we aren't supposed to be looking towards a boy that's got girlish features. We are human, so we can't get attracted. Now sometimes, you know, we say, no, I don't have those feelings. Leave all your philosophy, just go by the book. In these matters, it's better to go by the book, not with your philosophy. One of my friends, I tell them now, see, we're taking your wives to gynees, and you're going to male gynees, right? You cannot say me that the feelings in them is dead. Nobody can tell me the feelings dead. Otherwise, he would have got married. The fact that he's getting married shows that he's what feelings. Can you say me his feelings absolutely dead? So, this type of culture that is going on is not right. In a very absolutely extreme situation, absolutely extreme, life-threatening, it's a different thing. But now, just as a style, just as a comfort, as a luxury or as a status, not a male guy. Male. So can you say that he's absolutely pure, clean? Can't say that. How can you say that he's absolutely pure? Like I say, if he was absolutely pure, he didn't have those thoughts at all, then he would have got married. The fact that he got married shows that he's got the feeling. So your daughter going there, or your wife going there, you're exposing her to this type of danger. See, we're talking about this buzruk, he's going with this company of his, right? So one murid, he looks at a girl or a boy, but girlish features. See, we're talking now of the heart, right? And the importance of getting the heart right. To maintain the clarity, the purity, maintain it right throughout. It mustn't be now, one day we got it right and after that we fail. It mustn't be that at a certain time we are getting it right and after that we are collapsing. So that is not the type of relationship that Allah Ta'ala wants. Allah Ta'ala's relationship must be continuous. You cannot say to your wife that, well, at night I'll be yours, the day that I can be for someone else. Can you say that? You're going to be for me, you're going to be for me right throughout. The day also you're for me, and night also you're going to be for me. Though the duties may change, night duty may be different to the day, but the faithfulness and the loyalty, you will still owe it to me. You will still owe it to me. You will not say that night is yours and day is yours. No, you can't say that. You're going to show the loyalty, you're going to show the truth and honesty right throughout. Like you want the same from the wife, that she is going to show loyalty, love and respect to you, not to any other man. So you make the same demands with her as well. So anyway, as they're going, and now he sees this person here, and he says to his sheikh that this person is a Christian, right? Will Allah Ta'ala throw this beautiful face into the fire? The sheikh picked it up, see. It's his experience, because he goes to so many people, so he picked it up. He picked the thief. He says, well, have you looked with lust? He says, yes, I stumbled, I looked with lust. Phir tum uske khamyaza bhugat loge. Then you will see the consequence of this. You have looked, but you have looked with lust. Not even 3 years passed, the whole Quran Sharif that he learned, he forgot it. From page to page, he forgot everything. Khalas. After being a perfect hafiz, going from cover to cover, sitting, learning it and reciting it in one sitting, and the whole thing has been wiped off. Khalas. See the importance of keeping this basin, the basin of the heart, the basin of all purity, of all piety, of all righteousness and virtue, spirituality, to keep it pure and clean, not to allow that to be contaminated with anything. Allah Pak has blessed you, and then in His blessing you are contaminating, you are putting all His filth, then how do you expect Allah to continue with you? So I explained those youngsters that came, you know. Explained to them that you're going to give your prime time to Allah Ta'ala, then He will give you the prime reward. You're going to give your best, He's going to give you the best reward. The best time is the tahajjud time. But for getting the best, you need to be best. Remain the best, He'll give you the best. And for that, Allah Ta'ala appreciates it to such an extent that this class of people, Allah Ta'ala spoke about them in the pages of the Quran Sharif. To be read right till the end of time, those youngsters that dedicated themselves just for the love of Allah Ta'ala. They unflinching obedience, they gave it to Allah Ta'ala. And when they gave that obedience to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala made a point of preserving these people in the pages of the Quran Sharif, to be recited to the end of time. Your khatam in the Taraweeh or the khatam, normal khatam, is incomplete if you don't read the incident. Allah Pak appreciated it so much. The best, they gave the best to the best. And the best gave them the best place. Gave a place in the Quran Sharif. See that? They gave the best to the best. Right? And then the best gave them the best. See that? Allah doesn't forget. مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَا. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget. So this misuse of the tongue, misuse of the eye, you don't realize the consequences, what's going to come afterwards. Well, one of those things came in front of me, then I did it, I said it, so what? What's the big deal about it? What's the big deal? This time you'll see what will be the big deal. Unfortunately, see, we don't realize that everything has a consequence. We give the best, we'll get the best reward. But we want to give the worst and we want the best reward. It doesn't happen. The dog, that thing puts its mouth into the pot of kheer, see. So, the child went and reported it to the mother, okay, you know, it's Munna. In India they call the small child Munna. Munna told the mother that the dog put the mouth into the pot of kheer. Kheer, for those standards, is like a big delicacy. Once in 7-8 months you're having the thing, and the dog put that in his mouth now. I can't use it, because the thing is napak. His mouth is napak, his saliva is napak. That is going inside, how you going to eat that thing? So I said, alright, put it in the pot and give it away. Some clay pot, right? Give it away to the muazzin. Anaj mustn't get wasted. His food mustn't get wasted. It's happening in India now. But anaj mustn't get wasted. So now that food mustn't get wasted. So the child brought that big pot of, nice big pot of kheer, right? So the muazzin also, he's excited and in excitement, he's saying, hey, what's the occasion like? That I've been blessed with such a big pot of kheer. It looks like a seed, you know, the texture, the looks so beautifully prepared. So child, now what the child knows? The child said, no, well, the dog put his mouth inside. And this is what the mother said. That anaj, that food doesn't get wasted. So the muazzin, he got angry. Hey, this napak thing you're giving it to me. So the muazzin took that whole pot and he bust that thing. Because clay pot, he busted it. Now the child began to cry. What do you cry for? You give me all this trash and you're crying. So I'm not crying for anything else. What I'm crying for is, you see this pot here was the child's pot, you know, for him to, whatever, right? And now, my mother is going to spank me that this child's pot, for all his mess, nothing is broken down. So mother is going to hit me for that. So anything that is wasted, everything is wasted, no value for it. You know. Like I say, the last part of our life, we give it all the trash. All the wasted, used everything, for every enjoyment, every comfort, every luxury, we used it to the maximum. Go here, go Burgs, go this place, go that place, for everything we did. Right? And then now the last moments of our lives, now give it to Allah Ta'ala. But that also we are not giving it rightly. In those last moments, run here, run this side here, go this holiday, go that holiday. Umrah also is just an entertainment. It's not an Umrah. You ask 3/4 of the people that are away for Umrah, and how they spend the time. What are they doing? One of the stops must be Bin Dawud, must be there. As though you didn't go there, the Umrah is incomplete. So, at that portion of your life also, you're not giving it purely to Allah Ta'ala. But then I look at it from another perspective. How loving is Allah Ta'ala? See? How gracious is Allah Ta'ala? How compassionate is Allah Ta'ala? How kind is Allah Ta'ala? We give all the waste we give, like the leftovers that we're giving, right? Like I said, that man came to the walima, and you set him outside, and all the leftovers you gave it to him, bas, now eat here, right? How the person feels. So the leftover of our time, we are giving it to Allah Ta'ala, then we expect the best type of reward. Then we want to know why this calamity is coming, why this problem is coming, why this musibah and duke is coming. But what did we offer to Allah Ta'ala? So these avenues, this is the important thing, that we keep these avenues clean, proper, clear, uncontaminated. And one of the things that creates all these problems is the misuse of the tongue. Like the misuse of the eyes, the misuse of the tongue as well. Both, you know, both are very, very important. Like the hadith says, you guarantee me, take care of your eyes, your tongue. Eyes are the private areas and the tongue. Take care of that, I guarantee you Jannah. Now look at our lifestyle, right? More than 50-60% of the wrongs that we do is either connected to the eye or to the tongue. The rest of the body will thereafter react. The eyes must see it, said might. So the whole body then responds. But where it starts from? It starts from the eye. You built an eye contact, then you want to talk, then you want to feel, then you want to touch, then you want to go closer and closer until it culminates in haram. But where it starts from? It starts from the eye. Eyes or tongue. So these are the avenues to the heart. And these avenues have to be corrected, they have to be cleaned all the time. If in the event we slipped up, I asked Azhari, I'm sorry, once. We have made a nazar fujat, you know, accidental. So you turn your eyes away straight to turn away. But are you supposed to make istighfar after that as well? Like, you know, you walking in the street, saw some girl or something. Right? But are you required to make istighfar after that? Yes, you should make istighfar. The reason is that some of that feeling must have affected your heart. You cannot say that your heart was not affected, you saw something, and you cannot say that your heart saw it and you didn't feel affected. This feeling of immunity is wrong. They make you feel that you're immune, you don't have the feelings. It's not like that. Azhari Ramzai used to say, Itminan nahi is nafse ammara ka. There is no itminan, no bharosa. Bharosa nahi is nafse ammara ka. This nafs You can't rely on it. Barosa nahi is nafs ammara ka. You can't rely on it. You see, the nafs has got three levels, right? In fact, some people say five levels. Well, basic three levels. Let's talk about three levels. The first level, they call it ammara. Ammara is violently commanding towards wrong, right? So there's hardly any difference in the entry level of the nafs. There's no difference between the nafs and a beast. Both are the same. Right? Because you will do anything that your mind tells you. Talk to this girl, talk to her. Go for the gay relationship, go for that. Steal here, rob there, cheat there, you do everything. The only difference between this nafs and the modern man, the only difference will be, or say the beast, right? The difference between the modern man and the beast is, he will do it in a polished time. He will steal, but in a very polished way. He will flirt with a woman, but in a very polished way. He'll say it's a corporate environment, so we need to show corporate ethics and manners. All the haram will go in that. In a corporate ethics and manners, all the haram will go in that. He'll dance and he'll kiss and do everything, but the corporate environment makes that whole thing kosher and halal. The haram that he's doing, just the name has been changed, and the name change makes it permissible, correct. So everything that will be happening in a haram environment happens there. See, so that at this level there is no difference between man and a beast. He's absolutely a beast. He'll go for any haram. He'll swear, he'll go wild, his temptation will go wild with him, his tongue will go wild with him. Everything he'll be doing, listening to everything, anything and everything, indiscriminate. Anything and everything will go with him. So that's the elementary level. That is the nafs. That is the nafs of a kafir, right? And unfortunately, some of our people, Muslims, also subscribing to the same level of nafs. Same beast. The beast in them has the bet over them. Just that it's got a human look, got a human costume. Otherwise, if you cross-examine the whole thing, you'll find there's absolutely no difference. The amount of women could complain, husband is doing this and looking at this and looking at that porn, whatever else. Exactly, absolute beastly behavior. So this is the elementary. Anything will go, any type of talk will go, any type of party will go, everything will happen. There's no control over the nafs. And still we feel, no, we are still very advanced, we're educated, we're like this, like that. Yeah. Khak educated. So then, when Allah Ta'ala blesses the soul, He blesses the soul elevates from one level to the other level. You're getting conscious, you're getting worried, doesn't look right. This thing, this word that I used was not right. I looked at this thing here, it was not right. I heard this thing here, wasn't right, right? So now you get concerned. Yeah, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time. What am I doing? So you begin to reproach yourself. You begin to blame yourself, shout yourself. Why do you do this? How can you act so stupid? Why did you use this word here? Why did you get into that argument? What you got out of this whole dispute? What you went and fought? What did you get out of it? You broke up relationship with that person. Why? What you got out of it? You showed your jaat. You showed your attitude, right? But in that, what did you get out of it? What you got out of it? So at the second level, your conscience begins to reprimand you, shout you, what are you doing? Wasting your time. You sat down here by the shop, what did you get out of it? What was the need for you to go there? What did you get out of it? You had the newspaper 1 hour you sat and you studied. But what did you glean out of it? What did you get out of it? 1 hour you spent in that. But in that 1 hour, what did you get out of it? So your nafs begins to shout you. Now that is an advanced level, second level. It's not at the primary level. Primary level is the natural level. That's beast. Now you have come above the beast. Now you are lawam. Right? And Allah gives an applaud to this second class of nafs. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَ. He takes an oath in the name of this nafs here. That first one is terrible. It's a write-off. In the nafsa maratum bisu, it's a write-off. And the second one, Allah Pak gives an applaud. Now at least some consciousness is coming. You're beginning to understand there's a creator. You begin to understand that there's someone that is taking an account. is you're beginning to understand that there is going to be a thing like answerability. So now I give you an applause. I will give you some respect. I will give you some recognition. La uksimu bin nafsil lawwam. Allah takes an oath. So now it's progressing. It's beginning to see. So in this whole exercise, what Allah wants to see, is there consistency? Or one day, when you're in problem, then you begin to cry to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, see me right now. I'll do everything right. When you were summoned to court, some problem came up, then that youngster that is going through some examination, Allah Ta'ala, I'll do this for you, I'll do this for you. Here and comes and you are in for an increase, Allah Ta'ala, you know, just see me right, and I'll do everything for you, right? Or the landlord is going to pick up your rental, right? Allah Ta'ala, just see me right, you know, these people are not right here. They inflating the rental, you know, doubling, Allah Ta'ala, just see me right. So when you, in that constraint, then you make all the promises to Allah Ta'ala. When you're in constraint, all the promises you'll make. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ مِنَ الْبَرْ The moment Allah Ta'ala brings you, delivers you to safety, then everything is forgotten. نَسُوا مَا كَانَ يَلْعُوا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ All the promises that you made before to Allah Ta'ala, everything is forgotten. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. So this reproach of yours is a consistent thing. You made a mistake, straight away you're feeling miserable about the whole thing. Like how, say, for example, right, you are amongst people, and there's a stain in your kurta or your topi, will you feel comfortable? Or there is something, say, you are washing yourself, right, and some filth from the nose got into your beard or got into your face, right? Will you feel comfortable? For a moment also, will you feel comfortable? So you feel so uncomfortable with that guna, that wrong. Until I don't get cleared, then I'm not comfortable. It's like how that filth came out from your nose, got stuck on your cheeks, or got stuck maybe on your forehead or somewhere, or on your lip, or you got stuck there. How miserable you feel. What happened? You have to pull it out straight away. You feel so miserable. You feel so uncomfortable. So that's the status of guna. And that's the status of the second level. That if any wrong happens, then he's going to feel very miserable. And he'll shout himself, why, what the hell, what business you had? Why did you argue? Why did you get into this problem here? You could have just kept quiet. You could have walked away. Why did you do that? So when that person is consistent, Allah progresses him to the second level. But he's still consistent and he's still showing loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala elevates him even more. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. So he showed consistency. So Allah Ta'ala elevates him. See? Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. Now that's a very refined class. That class, only the good appears to you. The good now seems like food. You can't do without food. Like the morning tea, your brains can't open up. If you didn't have the tea of the morning, right? A person who is an addict smoker, right? He didn't have that first cigarette of the day or whatever. Don't talk to him. Because he may just lose it. Your dimag ki chabi hai. It opens the brains. He didn't have that first pull. Don't talk to him. Just stay out of his way. When he's had that first pull, he had his tea and all that. Now you can talk to him. So now, the wrong seems naturally detestable. You don't like it. You don't want to go near it. It's just detestable. The dunya doesn't have that interest. You don't have that interest in it. Came, it came. Didn't come, it didn't come. Not a big deal. I need to have this type of a jacket, that type of a kurta, that type of a topi, this type of a motor car. Came, mashallah. Wonderful. It didn't come, one of those things. Both are absolutely identical. Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi, talking about refinement of the heart, see how you get the heart refined. So a wealthy cloth merchant, he came around, very wealthy cloth merchant, all cloth also, but very top class. Went to the king, king can't afford it. So the merchant is going around, hey, I brought this from overseas, I came here with such expectation, and the king also can't buy my stuff. So anyway, he went for the Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, prayed for du'as, whatever. And maybe from his talk or whatever, he leaned out, he picked out this man, he felt very disappointed. That I had that thought, I had that expectation, I went and I got turned down, they didn't buy my stuff, you know. I'm going to carry all my stuff and go back. So, the Buzurganadin, their hearts are different. They want to keep everybody happy. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, they know what's the reward of keeping that Muslim happy for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Not for any material reasons. She said, oh, you got some material, got some cloth. Yeah, I got some cloth. What's the price? Alright, this is the price. Alright. He told his treasurer, the same, buy the thing. India and the Eastern countries, the barber, the tailor, you call him to your house. You don't have to go there to the shop. So you call them, they'll do everything for you. In the house they'll do it. So you call the tailor, take the measurements, make a kurta or a jubba or whatever. So now he sold the whole thing, and so much was left, one hand span was left, for the kurta to be complete. Now the tailor comes around and says, you know what, Hazrat, the whole kurta got sewn, so too beautiful. But this one hand span got left. So he says, the khadim, oh, you know that Persian cloth you got? The cheapest cloth, cheapest, tart, you know, thick, coarse, doesn't even look pleasant. This amount is left, just fix it up, just put it up there. Meanwhile, the king, once someone went and reported to the king that what you couldn't buy, this man went and bought. So he's spiting you. He's showing you a point. See, you can't buy it, I'll buy it. What are you? So he's showing you a point. So someone is relating all this information to the king that this is what's happening. So the king is getting worked up, he's getting angry, he's spiting me. So that's what he's doing. But when he related to the king, by this is another class of a person. He is putting this, the most expensive cloth, and he's patching it up with this Persian cloth that is the cheapest of cloth. You can't think of a cloth that is cheaper than that. But they are a different class of people. It's something else. So for him, that expensive cloth and the cheap cloth didn't mean anything. When I see this incident here, I think of ourselves, you know, that tile that we got in the toilet, and that one tile mustn't be right. It mustn't be matching. Or it must be that person that plays that tile, we didn't do it, a fine job. We didn't do it. What happens? Just one tile and it's not placed, not put right. All his anger, everything will just go off. I'm paying haram money to you. What are you doing here? Sometimes we shout people, but we don't realize that we're doing the same thing. Our relationship with Allah Ta'ala is the same. Now and then, some namaz is coming with a delay. If Allah Ta'ala had the same relationship with us, like we have a relationship with our worker, I ask you, will we exist? Riya namaz, slapdash, reading it late, anytime, anywhere. If Allah Pak had the same relationship with us, like we have with our workers, I ask you, can we live? Can we continue? He's still, Allah will still say, alright, I'll cover you up. So this third level of the nafs is that mutma'inna. That mutma'inna is totally compliant, absolutely compliant. Not only compliant with Allah Ta'ala, but it finds an enjoyment and satisfaction in that. Like, say, you know, you're going to sleep and you've got a heart. You make pisap, right? Can you sleep? What you do? You go and make pisap first, you relieve yourself, then you go and sleep. Or, you're extremely hungry, will you be able to sleep? You'll want to eat first, then itminan ke saath you go and sleep. So that is the level of this person's attachment with Allah Ta'ala, that he didn't do his duty. If he slipped up, he didn't make his istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala, he can't rest. I slipped up here, I slipped up there. I caused it here for myself, I caused it there. So he can't be at ease until he doesn't make the peace with Allah Ta'ala. Now that he's made the peace with Allah Ta'ala, now he's at ease. So that is the level of nafs called nafs-e-ammara. So I say to the old and to the young, it doesn't mean that we passed an age that we can't reach up there. Allah's mercy, doors of mercy, still open. Right? In some respects, it's easier for the old, because if he's reached 65, 70, then there's not much time left now. So you can appease yourself, say, hey, just the next 10 years, man. Make the sacrifice you own. You own for the rest of your life. You can appease yourself. Right? How much more you will live? If you already touched 70, 65, 70, how much more? Most 20, most 15 years you will live, if Allah Ta'ala wills, right? Maybe you hit it before that also. But just a little bit now, that you're ending up, just do it right. You're ending up now, but just do it right. Maybe Allah Khuda Ta'ala ku taras a jaye. Allah will feel sorry for you. With your crying, with your tearing, with your remorsefulness, and, you thinking nothing of yourself, Allah Ta'ala will just feel pity for you. He will just throw you. You can also come up to that nafsa mutmainna. It doesn't mean you pass the age, so you can't reach up there. Although it would have been better if you realized when you're much younger. But now you came off this age here, and you will come on, you can still do it. It's just that it's a mindset, how you think, how you reason. One Mewati, about age of 74, 75, and he lost his wife. They came to Mufsa Rahmatullah. He says, I had one responsibility, alhamdulillah, Allah Baqir, accomplished. I lived with her, I fulfilled all her farais and all her duties, right? I gave her the time. Now I don't have any responsibility. Now by the rest of my time, all in Jamaat. He was also a man. He had feelings, he had a stomach, he had children, he had grandchildren, everything he had. But now see his reasoning. Ordinary villager, farmer, not even educated, nothing. But now look at this mindset. I had all these things, all these responsibilities, I fulfilled all of them. Now, the responsibility is gone. I don't have any responsibility. Wife is gone, so there's no responsibility. But this last section of my life, last sector of my life, last phase of my life, I need to do something that then I'll be perpetual after that. So he came and says, I'm giving my name for life. 3 years, 5 years, then one Jamaat is coming, the second Jamaat. And the second one is finishing up, the third one, and it's going on. Until in Jamaat, in the state of Sajda, he passed away. He was sincere. I say to the old as well as the young, hey, it's not too late. You can still correct yourself. You can still correct yourself. Where we go off is we think life is just pleasure, is just comfort. Allah Pak has made a time for comfort. As Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sam is dispatching him to Yemen, right? But the last one of the advices, Iyaka wa tana'um. You be careful about comforts and luxuries. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Allah Pak's chosen servant, they don't go after luxuries and all that. It came their way, they ate, they enjoyed. It's not that they will reject or they will throw it away. But if it didn't come their way, they were obsessed with it. I must get this here, I must, if this dar chawal, then there must be a fish on the side. An alu fry with it. Then only I will eat. Otherwise, forget it. Don't talk about it. It came. It didn't come. It didn't make a fuss. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِمُتَنَعِمِينَ. They know that the real comfort, there's another place for the real comfort. If I am wanting myself to be comfortable here, I'm missing the point. Imagine a child that is in the examination room, and he wants the best stationery, the best seat, the best carpet, the best pen, everything best. But he doesn't know his work. Kya faida? That's our position. We want everything the best. We think that best will bring us the best akhirah. Not realizing that the best deed will bring us the best. Not this best stationery. All these are sideshows. It's just by the way. Came, mashallah. It didn't come, it's not a problem. Alhamdulillah. As long as we're on cause, then there is no problem, absolutely no problem, as long as we are on cause. As long as we are holding on to Allah Ta'ala, there's absolutely no problem. But the problem is we've got everything and we're not with Allah Ta'ala, and where are we then? We are suspended in between somewhere. Not on the ground, not in the skies, nowhere. So, I say it's never too late. at whichever point of your life you are, but it's never too late. All Allah wants is just be compliant. And you start off, get all your the avenues right. All the avenues, get it right. See, you know, where's the mistakes? I'm making a mistake here, I'm making a mistake here. How to correct myself here? How to correct myself here? How do I do it? And you make a serious attempt, Allah will open the avenues. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will open up the avenues. You don't say now, don't think to yourself, how is it going to happen? Don't think like that. Whatever thing, that how it's going to happen, you will be serious with Allah Ta'ala. He will create the avenues. That's what Thanvi Sahib has explained in one of his bayans. He says, in some tafsirs it's reported, Yusuf alayhi salam, when Zulaykha tried to trap him, right? وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. There was about 7 doors, and she had fastened all the doors. She fastened all the doors. Now he's trapped in between. It's a mistress. He's under her mercy, working for her, under her command, and she's fastened everything, and she says, يِتَلَكْ come, my dear, come. Now imagine the constraints that he is in. Everything has been fastened around him. He's a mistress, and if he doesn't comply, you can imagine that it's life or death. No. She can, under some pretexts, kill him, put him away. She got so much of authority, so much of control. But on that occasion as well, when he's constrained, there's no exit, apparently. There's no exit at all. But then he says, Ma'ad Allah. No, this can't happen. May Allah Ta'ala protect me. May Allah Ta'ala protect me. So in that state as well, he hasn't forgotten Allah Ta'ala. So these conditions are going to come about. You're going to be in a constraint, in a fix, in a jam. And Allah Pak is going to see you within the jam. How do you respond to the jam? I'm going to put you into a fix. Whether it's the 21st century or the first century. But I'm going to put you into a jam. And when you're in the jam, I want to see you. How are you going to respond? How are you going to come out of it? مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Everybody will have his trial. No matter who he is, where he's living. But you'll have a trial according to your circumstances. You'll have a trial. And in a trial, Allah will see, how do you respond to that situation? So Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't say to himself, you know, I'm in a jam now. Let me just give in. You need to be living with people in a real world. Let me just give in, and then I'll continue with life. That's how people say to you, we're living in a real world. We're living in a real world, then we have to be realistic, right? Do some things and make things work. That's what we say. Do some interest also, do some haram also, because we're living in a real world. Not realizing that this world is a dream. Like I ask you, right? Say you're 60 years of age, right? So the 59 years that you lived, today how does it appear to be? Anything more than a dream. All the enjoyments that you had for the 59 years, can you experience the enjoyment? So is it anything more than a dream? Is nothing beyond a dream. But just that after you pass that, then you realize, hey, it was nothing more than a dream. But when you were in it, you say, hey, I got it now. But when you pass that, then it's a dream. It's just a memory. It's somewhere stuck in your mind. Nothing beyond that. You'll gloat about, you know, I went to Disneyland. I went to America. I went to this. The only thing you got now, words to boast about what you did. Anything else? I drove in this type of car, you know. I sat with so and so. So it's just something that you're going to boast. It's just in the mind. Is it real? Nothing, absolutely nothing real. So Yusuf alayhi salam is the fix, the jam. And as I say, jams are going to be created by Allah Ta'ala. In the jam, Allah wants to see how do you behave. Badr was created, Allah wants to see what's going to be the response. Uhud was created by Allah Ta'ala. Allah wants to see what's the response. How do you respond? Right. So according to the circumstances, Allah Ta'ala will throw out a challenge. In the challenge, He wants to see how you respond. How is going to be your behavior? Accordingly, then He'll promote you. He'll take you up. But are you right in that jam that you have been jammed up in? Are you going to be right or not? So Yusuf alayhi salam, the first response is, Ma'azallah. No, this could never happen. Then he preaches to this woman, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. How can I be a namakaram? This woman has been so good to my master. He's been so good to me. And then, I must cheat him in his own household. He's been so good to me. He gave me an abode, gave me food to eat, everything else he's given me. Then I must cheat him. You know, use your brains a little bit. He's advising this woman. He's at her mercy, with a beck and call, but yet he's got the heart to advise her. Then, she tries another style, you know. She says, hey, you know, your eyes are so beautiful. Normally, when you want to flirt, you know, you start off, hey, you're looking like this, you're looking like that. You start off the person like that. So she tried the same trick with Yusuf al-Islam. Your eyes are so beautiful. Yusuf al-Islam says, yes. But the moment I die, this will be the fodder of the worms. Right? But your cheeks are so rosy. Just now, in a few days, and I'm gone, then it will be dust. It will be disintegrated, it will be stinking. And then he asks her, you see, I see some idol there, and you covered it up. You covered the idol. Why did you cover it? He said, no, I'm about to embark on something, and that must be done in the absence of my God. So Yusuf says, how stupid are you? My Allah Ta'ala, from whom nothing can be concealed, you are exposing yourself to him, you're exposing yourself to this haram in his presence, and this one that is stupid here, you are covering him up. You don't want him to witness. So where's your brain? And she don't start listening. So Yusuf al-Islam used advising. He brought her to the level of death and showed her what's the reality beyond death, not working, right? She's still making that advance. See, so everything that's within your capability, within your resources, you're exhausting everything to get out of the haram. You're not saying, oh, I failed one place, now let me give in. I failed the next place, let me give in. He's using everything to exit, to run away. Everything, whatever is in his ability to escape from the haram. So as a last resort, now then he says, وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. Now he raced towards the door. Now he knows that the door is fastened, it's all locked up. But what's within my ability, I must do that. See that when you reach the nafsa mutmainna, the nafsa mutmainna can never be comfortable with haram. Can't be comfortable. You feel very uneasy, very uncomfortable. So now Yusuf al-Islam is at that level. How can he feel comfortable with that for a moment? So he's racing towards the door. He knows that that thing is fastened, it's locked up. But I must do as much as I can. As the Shaykh Ulidin Rahmatullah Ali, he's explaining the same verse, and he says, if Allah Ta'ala were to tell me, you know, if you want to reach me, then you must ascend to the sky. Touch the sky, then you will reach me. I won't tell Allah Ta'ala that this is an impossibility. How can you ever touch the sky? How can you ever dream of touching the sky? I won't do that. What I will do, now that was the time when there wasn't planes and rockets and all that, right? So he says, what I will do, I will look for the highest mountain in the entire world. Then after that, I'll look for the highest peak. And after I've gotten to the highest peak, I'll look for the highest tree. There's a tree there. And when I've ascended the highest point of the tree, then I will jump. Then I will say, Allah, I've done whatever I could do within human limitations. I've done everything. Now the choice is yours, Allah. So he'll do, and he'll do it to the best of his ability. There's one Buzruk, his name was Abdul Karim Jili Rahmatullah Alayh. So he was in jail, prison, so they call him Jili Rahmatullah Alayh. Now when it comes on a Friday, so he'll bath, he'll put on new clothes, he'll put on itar, but in a jail you can't read Jummah namaz. So after he's taken a bath, he's put on new clothes, put on itar, then he'll come right till the entrance of the jail and say, Allah, this was my limit. I have done. So now, Allah, you record me amongst those people who have done the Jummah namaz. So he tried his level best. Now this is what Allah wants. Are you trying your level best? No matter what the circumstance is, but you need to show your allegiance, you need to show your loyalty, your faithfulness, your truthfulness to Allah Ta'ala, and he will see you accordingly. So Yusuf alayhi salam is not seeing from this perspective that it's an impossibility. How can I be like a madman running towards a locked door and over expecting for that thing to just open out? So now what is within my ability, I must do it. I must exhaust my energy in the obedience of Allah, that I must do it. So Mawlana says that it's recorded in some tafsirs. As he approached the first door, the lock just opened up, broke. Second door, it just broke. Third door, just broke. Fourth door, just broke. Until the seventh door, everything is broke. But he exhausted all his energy, Allah took care of him. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. See, this last level is a level of mutmainna. Now for that mutmainna, there is so much of comfort, so much of reception. Like I see, in the walima, you are called with all that respect. There is so much of reception, there is so much of love, there is so much of honor that is being conferred to the person that is on mutmainna. But then mutmainna, then you have to discipline yourself. And like I say, Allah Ta'ala will throw out challenges. In the challenge, you have to make up your mind. What I want. If it is just this dream I'm after, then let it be. But if you after the akhirat, then it's another story altogether. You make up your mind what you want. In the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, a whole jamaat of Muslims were passing through Christian territory. As they were coming through the Christian territory, the Christian king apprehended them. 10-12 of them, they apprehended. Accept Christianity, no. Whatever it's worth, not prepared to accept it. Accept it, otherwise we'll chop off your head, or do what you want, but you're not prepared. So he says, the third offer I'm making to you is I will give you half my kingdom and I will give you my princess, only one successor to the throne. That means after I die, you'll be the king because she is the only successor to the throne. So I'm not prepared to make this bargain for 1 second. You know this today's Islam, let's make it happen now. You know. And let us be happy with everybody and let's get control. Now and then we can just work out things, you know. Relax. Don't be now an extremist. Just relax. See what the dunya you're getting. The whole kingdom you get now. How much masjids you'll be able to build. How many poor you'll be able to feed. Meanwhile, you're just bluffing the person. And your Islam is still in your heart. So don't worry about it. He says, not for a second. Am I prepared to make this type of a sacrifice? Alright, you're acting hard. Called one of the sati, chopped off his head. The next one, alright, he turned into Christianity. 2-3 turned into Christianity. And this person here, his head is chopped off and he's gone inside. As his head is gone inside, now, when a heavy thing is thrown into a river, right, so it will dip and it will pop up. So the head dipped into the water and then it popped up, came up to the surface. And then the head is calling, say, so and so, and so and so, and so and so. All those people that are present to call their names. And it says, my Rabb is saying, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. Soul that was compliant with Allah Ta'ala, was happy with Allah Ta'ala, in every situation, you didn't relax. My commands, you didn't compromise. You are happy with me. In any situation that I threw you in, but you are very happy with me. You didn't flinch. You didn't break my commands. You respected my commands. You were happy with me at all times. You gave your life for me. So now see how I will respect you. I will honor you. Now I have classed you amongst nafsa mutmainna, the highest. Now you enter into my class service. You know, like I said, the walima, and the walima with honors, with all the degrees and all the honors, you come in. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. My special elite servants, come and sit with them. Enjoy with them. Enjoy the Jannat. Enjoy with them. When this happened, that king and everybody, they got a shock. They began to accept Islam. Until the king got shaken up. Hey, what's happening here? Those people that had turned away, they came back to Islam. See. But that one nafs, one person was given himself to Allah Ta'ala, and then it's an unflinching obedience that is given to Allah Ta'ala. What a difference it makes. At any given time, I am Allah Pak's. Allah, I am yours, you are mine, and you ask me what to do, I'll try my best. I don't say that I will make things happen, but I will try my best to see that I keep up to this faithfulness, to this loyalty. I won't break away from it. I won't shift away. No matter who it is after that. So I say there'll be different situations that will come about. Whether it's in your business, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's wherever, but the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. They say of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, there was some debt that was outstanding. So, he went to the debtor, collect his debt. Non-Muslim Jew, so now he's going to the Jew to go and receive his debt, to receive it. So as he's approaching the person's house, so some fur had got onto his shoe. As the fur got into the shoe, Imam Sahib was trying to rub it off, right, clean it out. So some of it got onto the wall of the neighbor. The fur that got onto the shoe, I must have been trying to rub it off on the ground, but in the process, something just went onto the wall of the neighbor. Now, Imam Sahib, extremely worried. So he knocked at the door of the debtor. Servant was there. So he asked the servant to call the boss. Boss getting scared now. Hey, you know what, I'll bring your money and this. Imam Sahib said, well, you know what, you got a much more important matter to settle. And the matter is this, that, see, there's some filth that had got onto my shoe. In the process of me cleaning, some of it got stuck onto your wall. Now, see, I thought of correcting it in one of two situations. I thought I'd correct it. But if I correct it, some of the sand of your wall will be scraped out. The beauty will be scraped out. And if I leave it there, it will look unsightly. Now, I'm between a rock and a hard place. What do? I need to settle this out. That debt will come in its own time. Right? You don't want to pay also, it's alright. But I don't want to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala. See, that you missed this person's wall, and you didn't even think about rectifying it. See. So see these people here, how they live. So the money was not the important thing. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala brought this type of situation to try out Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi, that this was going to happen. And what's going to be your response? How are you going to respond to it? So I can't allow this stain to remain on your wall. That's filth. Right? I can't remain. But if I'm going to clean, I'm going to scrape the thing out, then some of the beauty of your wall will be scraped out. And that will seem to be unsightly. So I can't tolerate this. So the Jew now, as hard as he is, he says, you know, you are so clean. You are so clean, your religion, your deen is teaching so good manners, you know. That wall is a different thing. But that cleanliness of yours, that beauty of your heart is reflecting on my heart. That when I'm supposed to be, when your religion is teaching you such so much of good and so much of cleanliness, so much of purity, then how pure must my heart be? How pure must your heart be? And then how pure must my heart be then? And just upon this one incident, he declared, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasul. So this individual concern, see, this zamana is such that everybody is worried about his rights, you know. My rights, nobody must encroach. My rights, nobody must encroach. So I'll look for your faults. I'll look for his faults. I'll look for everybody's fault. But my faults, well, I'm like a farishta. I got no faults. There is any fault, there's fault with you. Our ulama of the past used to say, it's a sa'adat, you know, it's sa'adat, it's a fortune, that you are blind to people's faults, and you can only see your faults. Zafar Shah was the last king of India, so he said in a poetry, you know, Jab dekhte rahe logo ki aib o hunar, dekhte rahe logo ki aib o hunar. We kept on looking at people's faults. kept on looking at others' faults, right? Because we didn't focus at our own mistakes, so we kept on looking at people's mistake. Jab pari haal pe apni nazar. But the moment we looked within ourselves, jahan mein koi bura na raha, we found that nobody is worse than ourselves. What? Logo ki dekhte rahe a bonar. We kept on looking at this person like that, that person like that. Kept on looking at people's faults. Jab pari apne pe nazar, when we focused within ourselves, we retrospected, so jahan mein koi bura na raha. It wasn't a person as bad as ourselves. We found ourselves to be the worst. When I'm going to look at your faults, I'm going to pick out your faults. What are you going to do? You will pick out my faults. I'm going to look at your faults, you will look at my faults. Right? Will the ummah make any progress? I feel my progress is showing you your faults. You know, I'm sent by Allah just to police over you. And you will think the same, that you've been sent by Allah to police over me. I'm policing over you, and you policing over me. I ask you, will the ummah make any progress? The ummah will make progress if I feel, hey, I am the bad, worst person. I have to correct myself. When in the process of me correcting myself, that will reflect on the others. Hey, alright, you know, this person corrected himself. See how he's correcting himself. See how he's behaving. What am I supposed to be doing? He corrected himself in this way. He corrected himself in this way. He corrected himself. What am I supposed to be doing? But the moment I'm going to look at your faults, you will be looking at my faults. Neither am I going to make any progress, nor are you going to make any progress. So, jahan mein koi bura na raha, when I began to look within myself, I found there's no person as bad as myself. So, a Muslim is so consumed with the fikr of his akhirat, right, that even if he's going to advise the next person, even if he's going to preach to him, he'll preach with that mindset that I'm doing this to correct myself. Now, this seems very strange that I'm preaching to correct myself. I'm preaching to him, but I'm correcting myself. So you ask a child that he's doing hifz, you know. He's doing hifz, right? He'll be reciting Quran Sharif to the next person. He's reciting to him. But what is his intention? To improve his own recitation. The more he'll recite, the more his own recitation will improve. So the more I will talk about it, the more I will improve. I will come right. Allah Akbar.